of Fame weekend presented by Edward Jones when the Redbirds host the Brewers August 17th through the 19th. Friday night, it's the Mystery BP Pullover presented by Coca-Cola and Schnucks. And Saturday, it's the Hall of Fame Mystery Baseball Cap, courtesy of Edward Jones. Sunday wraps up the Hall of Fame weekend with a Dizzy Dean watch presented by AT&T. That's August 17th through 19th. Get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions.
The Cardinals and Fox Sports Midwest are proud to celebrate our troops and veterans with the second annual Military Appreciation Night, Wednesday, August 15th. Fans who purchase a special theme ticket receive an exclusive camouflage cap, and a portion of each ticket purchase will be donated to USO Missouri. Show your support for our brave men and women. Get your Military Appreciation Night tickets at cardinals.com/theme.
Another long work week is history, and your only thoughts are on somebody taking care of you. Preparing the most fantastic meal imaginable, with service that only royalty would expect. The excitement of each server bringing out different dishes, with smells that make you wish you ordered that, or the next one, or the next. Until that moment comes, when your meal is served. That's the feeling you get at Spiro's in Chesterfield, where it's fun to wait for the meal to be prepared perfectly because you're going to enjoy world-class wine or any beverage that makes your day a little brighter. And the stress of the work week and its obligations are all left at the door. Spiro's in Chesterfield is that place, and whether it's the Grecian-style broiled rack of lamb, fresh fish, or the stuffed filet mignon, you'll feel like, for that moment in time, you're on the Mediterranean, waiting to yell Opa. Spiro's at 1054 North Woods Mill Road in Chesterfield.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Do you know who this is?
A big joke.
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
To give the listeners a behind-the-scenes, not a behind-the-scenes look, but a behind-the-scenes listen as to how I operate. In the car, on the way here, I'll take my phone and I'll make, you know, like audible notes, a little recording app that comes with a phone. And then I come and I scribble a couple words down so I don't forget it. So if you'd like to hear, like, behind-the-scenes, because I didn't get a chance. I got to talk in here. I didn't write down what I have on my phone. So you just have to listen to them along with me.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
What kind of horse is a steed?
Okay, the reason that came into my head, I'm listening to the Monkees' Daydream Believer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it mentions a steed. And so I thought, what is a steed? He rode in on his trusty steed. I know it's a horse, but is it a stallion? Is it a mare? We've never really known, have we, what a steed is?
No.
See, these are things we need to know before we die, so we don't die stupid.
It's any horse being ridden or available for riding.
So
it's just carte blanche, not male, not female, not stallion.
So don't you wonder why somebody thought we needed that name? Yeah, he rode in on his trusty horse.
Well, it's like saying, I need a ride. I don't need a ride in a car. I don't need a ride in a truck. I just need a ride. However you can get me there. Ride. Steed, right. Steed is like ride.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense,
actually. Note is here.
lyrics to Daydream Believer by the Monkees.
Yeah, okay. What I'd like to do, Limey, is have you pull up the lyrics to Daydream Believer, because while I was listening to it, it made me realize this is one of those songs that was a big hit that I don't understand what it means.
Daydream Believer.
Wake up, okay. Sleepy Jean. Is that a different song?
Well, no, it says Cheer Up, Sleepy Jean.
Okay, would you read the lyrics to Daydream Believer?
All right, do you want me to start at the very beginning?
Sure.
Or just, okay. Okay, don't get excited, man. It's because I'm short, I know. I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock
alarm. Okay, I could hide beneath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. Well, that doesn't make sense. You can't hide beneath the wings of a bluebird as a little bitty bird unless you're really tiny. Go ahead.
But the 6 rings and I rise, wipe the sleep off my eyes. The shaving razor's cold.
No, you misread that.
What?
Read that part again. It's about the alarm clock.
The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but 6 rings and I rise.
Wipe the sleep out of my eyes.
Right.
And then go on.
The shaving razor's cold and it stings.
Okay. What's the story here? The guy just woke up, the alarm went off, and he's shaving. Why is this a big story? Go ahead.
He's small. Maybe he's got a job where he feels like he's really small or something.
Well, how do you get that out of it?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Go ahead, Lime.
Okay. Cheer up, Sleepy Gene.
Right, who's Sleepy Gene?
Maybe
that him?
He is. Maybe his name's Gene.
Yeah.
Like a guy.
Maybe he's
Gene.
Telling himself to wake the up as G-E-N-E. He looks in the mirror like, hey, cheer up.
Sleepy Gene. Oh, what does it mean?
What can it mean to a
daydream believer and a homecoming queen? Is he a queen?
Maybe he's gay.
Is he gay? No, I'm serious.
Okay, well, homecoming queen is probably... a girl or someone in his life, you know, because you got a daydream believer.
Good.
So probably a hippie had fallen in love with.
Were you at one
queen.
Time a music interpreter?
I don't think so.
Seems like you could have been. You were an exterminator.
I was. Thank you.
There's a lot of variety.
This would have been an appropriate conversation in 1967 when this song came out. But since Frank's 65 years late, I'll go ahead. You know, it was written by John Stewart, who was in the Kingston Trio. He left the Kingston Trio. And he said it was supposed to be the third in a trilogy of songs just about suburban life, about how married couples start out in an idealistic haze. After a few years, it wears off. Then each sees each other the way he or she really is. Mm. That's a daydream believer.
Mm.
You figure out who your wife really is years after you marry her.
Here's why I disagree with you about we're 65 years late. We've gone our whole lives. Look at the... Brenda Lee effing pie song.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it took us years to finally hone in on, wait a minute, this is filthy. We have listened all these years to these songs, especially these 60s songs, and we just kind of, and nobody really went, wait a second, what is this? So we're doing it now. You have to at some point go, what is it I'm singing along with and what does it mean? Now, pick it up where you left off there, Lina.
Okay, Homecoming Queen. You once thought of me as a white knight on his steed.
That's where the steed came in.
Right.
Okay.
Now you know how happy I can be.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does. You once thought I was this great white knight on a big shining horse, and now years later you realize that I'm not the guy that you thought you married. This is exactly what the song's
but
about.
But he said, now you know how happy I can be. Well, what does that mean?
Maybe he's saying, now you know, like, you know, the real him.
Go ahead.
He's not idealistic.
Maybe he booted her, and now he's happy.
keep reading.
Oh, our good time starts and ends without all I want to spend. But
what?
I have no idea.
He doesn't want to spend a lot of money. Yeah,
right. He's
on a
cheap.
Good time.
But how much, baby, do we really need? And then it's Cheer Up, Sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? And that's actually just, it's just that from then on, then.
She was a homecoming queen when you met her. He thought she's going to be all that. And then years later, she's just, you know, trailer park, mayonnaise sandwich eating, you know, hag. Who doesn't?
Wow. You really?
Hag. I haven't heard that word in a long time. Hag. That's a good one. She's a hag.
Thanks.
She's an old hag.
Thanks.
The
old bat. How about
now,
bat?
Would you?
Oh yeah,
bat. That, would you pull
bat.
Up? I am the walrus.
Okay,
cuckoo,
sure.
Cuckoo.
No.
Lyrics.
This is another one where LSD
bat,
had to be involved. No, Dan. You see what happened there?
No,
I didn't use the word bat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which makes triggers in Dan's mind. Dingbat Archie Bunker, so he has to do Edith Bunker. His thought process.
That was his Edith Bunker?
Yeah, do it
no,
again.
No, not Edith. Oh. Well, Archie.
Archie. Okay, Dingbat was the one. Go ahead, do it.
Jeez, Edith, hey, you big dingbat.
Pretty good. I am the walrus. Let's take a run at this. Go ahead, Limey.
All right, you want me to start? Okay. I am he, as you are he, as you are me, and we are all together.
That's enough. That's enough right there. Wow. I am
right
me,
there in
you are
days.
He. Go ahead. What's the next
I
one?
I think they're saying that, you know, we're all connected. See how they run like pigs from a gun. See how they fly. I'm crying.
This is unbelievable. Yeah, and I like their music.
Oh, yeah, it's
because
great.
Because we just never bothered to see if it made sense. It's, I guess, not supposed to make sense.
Well, this one actually makes me laugh. Sitting on a cornflake, waiting for the van to come, corporation T-shirt, stupid bloody Tuesday, man, you've been a naughty boy, you let your face grow long, which now you know what bloody means.
That's a great set of lyrics, isn't it? All right, let me see what my next note was.
Well, I think, wasn't that, when they wrote that, was their
LSD.
Drug, yeah.
That's
LSD
when they were visiting the Maharishi.
Yeah, I think so.
What have I got?
Over there in India.
With a man and a woman who just...
Okay, I know what that is. That's a note. I made this to myself in the car because I had this...
No, wait, can we listen to the whole note, please?
With a man and a woman who just had been in the forest their whole lives, know what to do.
So I had a thought, like, what if a man is like a grown man? He's 25, and a woman is, and they've never seen another human being. They grew up in the, like Tarzan, in the forest, and they meet each other. How long would it take them to know how to do it, you think? Would they just figure it out naturally?
You told a joke about this subject a couple of months ago, and I think the punchline was a vagina.
No, that was the Tarzan Jane joke. That wasn't about knowing how to do it. That was learning words.
What you hold him.
Thank you, Dan. I was going to tell it. Now you just ruined the joke. You gave the punchline away. So that note to myself was to say...
I think naturally they would.
And I do, too, and I'll tell you why.
Like dogs. Mm-hmm. Like dogs.
Thank you, because that's what I finally thought of. I thought, well, animals are born... They don't have to be taught how to walk. In fact, animals are born like a calf. They just kind of get up and stumble around. It takes us a year. A human has to... But of course, we've only got two legs.
True.
They're like a table. They have four legs, and it's easier to balance. So if two people... had never had any instruction or sex talk or anything, and they face-to-face, how long, I wonder, would it take before they figure out how to do it? I don't think very long. Because, like you said, animals are born. Once they get mature enough to have sex, they just start doing it.
And Dan says he has three legs, so I think for him it'd be even quicker.
That's a tripod. Let me see what the other... Okay, that's the same one. Let me get rid of that. Here's the last
Which
one.
I love the music in the background, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you. No rust on cars anymore.
Okay. There was a pickup truck in front of me on the way here, and it was the most rust that I have seen in 50 years on a vehicle. Mm-hmm. It was a 70s era, like S10 small pickup truck.
Right.
More rust than truck. Just rust. And here's the beautiful thing about cars, I'd say from the last 15, 20 years, no rust. They don't rust. They're made of material that will not rust. So you don't see a 2012 rusted car. No rust anywhere. You know what used to be the worst? Jeeps.
Really?
Oh, my old Why? Jeeps. They always rusted. The tailgate started first, rusting the hinge, and they would just start from there and just like a disease.
And sometimes
the
wheel wells.
Yes, I was just about to
the wheel
say
wells
that.
Would just start crumbling apart.
Yeah. You see that on most of the old cars.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim found something funny.
Oh, you started talking about Edith Bunker, and I started looking up funny quotes from Archie and Edith Bunker, and I actually do an Edith Bunker imitation, and I was going to have some fun with Dan, but I don't think you can say the things that they said on this show from 1972 to 79. I don't even think you can say them now on radio without getting fined or fired.
Oh,
as long as you make it clear that you're, you know, extracting it from their show, and you're not—it's not your words. I think you can give me an example as best you can.
Okay, well, you know, Mike, you know, who Meathead, who was the guy that
Rob Ryan.
Never worked, and he was Sally Struthers' boyfriend, and I guess he's...
Well, she plumped up, didn't she?
He said, well, this is just a funny one. He said, in today's society, people throw things out because they don't work. And Edith says, well, you don't work. Maybe we should throw you out.
That's perfectly acceptable.
But Archie says, words like,
Oh, he did the whole thing about like, spicks and wetbacks.
Chink.
Can you say chink?
We can, quoting him. So, and actually, it's not an FCC violation. It's just not. It's not nice. Yeah. If I went on here and said, "Hey, I saw a couple of chinks in front of me today," I'd probably be thrown off there. Not because I violated some FCC, just because it's like you don't do that.
It's like the phrase "God bless you" when somebody sneezes. So I guess there was an exchange, for example, on one episode of the show where Mike says to Archie, "Why couldn't they say Buddha bless you in Chinese?" Right. And Archie says, because they don't say that. If they say anything, it's sayonara. And Mike says, no, Archie, that's Japanese. And Archie's like, same thing.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, it's not the same thing. Archie says, what are you talking about? You put a Jap and a Chink together, you're going to tell me which is which? And Mike goes, that's right, because when I find out about them, I talk to them as individuals. And Archie says, yeah, sure, you talk to them, you say, which one of you guys is the Chink?
Okay, why that worked and why it was okay? Because it made Archie look like an idiot. They were brilliant in the way they did it. Norman Lear. Because you positioned Archie as this is the guy you don't want to be. But it allowed them to do stuff that was funny, not politically correct, but funny.
And Gloria says, pizza is actually not from Italy. I read that Marco Polo discovered it in China and then brought it back to Italy. And Archie goes, leave it to a Dago to go halfway around the world to get a take-home meal. Just your words like chink and dago. You don't hear those in mainstream. I mean, can you imagine a TV show today using that that word, either of those words?
When I was about 8 years old, my dad introduced me to a guy he worked with. And he said, this is Mr. Williams. And I put up my hand. He said, call me Dago. Everybody called him Dago Williams. And I remember my dad referring to him. He said, Dago Williams comes into work yesterday. And I never, as a kid, I didn't know that was a derogatory thing. I just thought his nickname was Dago, like it could be Bobby or Meathead or whatever. And so he said, call me Dago. And then years later, when I heard some people talking about things you shouldn't call people, and they got to Dago, I thought, wait a minute, it's my dad's buddy, Dago Williams. But he was okay with it.
And forever and ever, I thought that it was okay to say that about Italians, because... The Hill, now they just call it The Hill, but they used to call it, where do you live? Oh, I live up on Dago Hill.
That's exactly, you're right. When I moved here, that's what it was called.
Yeah.
Dago Hill.
Yeah.
Wow. We've come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
If you want to laugh, though, go to IMDb and type in All the Family just to see the funniest interactions. You will bust out laughing out loud at
and
the
it's
things
even
they say to each other on
if you
show.
Go to TV Land or YouTube and actually watch them do it. Sure. It's even funnier than reading the... All right, now, first of all, I haven't welcomed people. Welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you here. This is the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. And now for the last 10 months, it's been on 590 The Fan, which is where we are. So we're glad to have you with us. And I'd like to start today, as long as we're on this topic and Japanese and Chinese have been mentioned, I want to thank Limey for being all-inclusive and for thinking of all listeners, even our Korean listeners. And, he said to me the other day, he said, Frank, what could we do to be more inclusive, to include... Let's say, for example, Korean listeners. I said, well, why don't you just go online and find something that they would appreciate in the way of programming? And he's done just that. He did it, and I came in today, and he played me this. Now, this is actually a video, but you don't need to see the video. The girl's name is Christine. She's Korean. And she's doing on YouTube a series of English lessons teaching Korean people how to speak English, and how we turn a phrase and little colloquialisms. And without further ado, here is Christine. This is not some edited thing where we took somebody's word, put it out up. This is in context, and there's a chalkboard behind her. Here she is explaining something about something that we commonly say, or words, or products, or thing that we use in English. Here's Christine.
Please give me cock. Cock. It's cock. It's in English, but in Korea, we call cock cola. Cola. Cola.
Well, the
cola?
Stop it.
Cola?
The
cola?
Word is Coke.
Yeah.
And she's telling, and she's actually telling Korean people, go out and here's how you should say it. She's telling them to go out and say, oh, give me cock. Okay. No. This is a bad lesson. This is not good. Go ahead. Here we go.
Cola. 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 But it was not cola. It was cock. It was cock. It's cock, actually, right? So cock is cola.
Mm-hmm, sure is.
Cola.
Sure is.
Right?
Hey, baby, how about a
not
cola?
Not cock. Cola, cola, cola. Right? Cock is cola. Right?
No, it's not.
Cola.
No, it's not, Christine.
You guys love pops, like cock and Pepsi. God. So,
cock
this
and
is a tip. Cock is cola. Cola.
So, now stop it. So, here's the problem. Some, Korean girl will meet an American guy and say, I would like to come over to the house for some cock and Pepsi. Or he might, a young Korean guy might be watching these lessons and say to a girl, how'd you like to come over tonight for some cock and Pepsi? And she's going to run or not. But I think this girl needs to be set straight. Somebody needs to get to her and say, no, it's not pronounced that way.
God help her. She walks into a bar and orders a Jack and Cock.
Or she says, I want a large cock to go.
Yeah. Right
to take home.
Five guys say, check, please.
Yeah.
Give me 32 ounce.
I think what we've got here is an opportunity to do a great public service. Mm-hmm. She's sending the wrong message.
Mm-hmm.
This is not how we pronounce Coke at all. Could you play just that first part of it again?
Yeah.
Imagine the poor people in that class looking at that chalkboard, seeing C-O-K-E, and then go out into the world in the U.S. and do this.
Please give me cock.
We've got to shut this down. So how do we get to her?
I have no idea.
Was there any follow-up YouTube where she came on and said, in other video, I mispronounced C-O-K-E?
No,
see,
there isn't.
Nobody.
There isn't.
This is where it's a, we have to take this on ourselves, like we did the Brenda Lee thing with the effing pie. It's up to us. We got to find Christine and say, Christine, no. Look, the other thing that could happen is, let's say a young Korean person who hasn't been here long decides to farm and they need a new rooster. They're going to go, I need cola. Because she said that C-O-K-E was cola. And
she did.
Yeah. That cock was cola.
All right. So I'm going to try and find how we can contact Christine.
I'd like to get her on here and just in a nice way say, we appreciate what you're doing, helping the Korean community speak English, but it's not pronounced. It's coke, Christine. Coke. Okay. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. This is Dan Strauss. He is heir to the Levi Strauss fortune, worth who knows how many hundreds of millions. Yet he chooses to be a public servant.
Darn right.
And entertain you.
Yes.
And now, here's Dan Strauss.
So I received.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I received a phone call last night to be officially asked to perform a wedding.
Ooh, my daughter called.
Yes, she did. She called me last
night.
Now
it's official.
And she officially asked me, and she, did she talk to you at all yesterday?
No. Nope.
She goes, oh, my dad just went on and just said, and I said, well, we kind of knew,
though. I probably spoiled the secret, but she had talked to you about it before.
Yeah, she had talked about it before.
And I've actually said on the air, I don't think it's right that somebody could go online, pay $25 or whatever, and be an honest-to-goodness, legitimate, licensed person to perform a ceremony. It seems weird to me, but it that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You can, just like a ship captain, you can perform weddings, and you have.
Yeah.
So you're going to officiate.
I performed a wedding.
Can you do it without going into the Wizard of Oz scarecrow? Because it's kind of a serious thing.
Oh, yeah, I can.
I don't think you can. I think you'll break out into Joe Cocker or something.
Oh.
But you can't do that.
Well, I could.
Well, we'll talk.
I think it's
kind of serious. It's, and then the reception, you can do whatever you want to do.
In Korean, that's Joe
Coker.
Cola.
Joe Cola. Cola. Joe Cola. You have anything else?
No, that was it.
Anybody else for the Burke segment?
Not really, no. The shredded up money that Bill gave me has now made it onto the patio at Kirkwood Brew House. So, okay. I mean,
made it onto the patio?
Yeah, it's just outside the door of the station. Yeah,
wait, from the street?
From the street.
That's not really Burke segment.
It's pretty interesting, though.
Well, I'm going to go get it because I use those.
All right, we can shut the Burke segment down. Burke segment is officially closed. See, folks, see what we've already learned here? We've learned a little bit about Korean.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned that a steed is any horse. It could be a stallion, a mare. But man, it's a steed. On his trusty steed. The fires in California. Let me talk about this for a second. Incredible. I mean, and frightening. 14,000 firefighters are fighting these fires.
They're bringing people.
Think about that number.
They're bringing firefighters in from Australia.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah, other countries. Oh,
right. Yeah.
That is a huge number of firefighters, 14,000. And it doesn't seem like, though, every year?
Yes.
Eventually, there'll be no California. It's going to burn up. I mean, how many acres are there that if you're losing thousands and thousands of acres every year to fires, eventually they'll just burn the whole state up? I don't know how they recover.
And did somebody starts them, right?
Somebody... Well, sometimes they do, and sometimes it's just dry weather and a spark, a lightning. And sometimes it's accidental. But yes, unfortunately, sometimes people do start them.
I thought somebody said that somebody's car blew up or something.
That would certainly do it.
California has 100. Almost 159,000 square miles.
Okay.
Is the size of that state. 640 acres are in one square mile.
Wow. Okay.
So for every 5,000 acres that are burned, that's about 7 square miles.
Wow.
So they got a lot to go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Man. That's good.
Anybody here ever been in a fire? A house catch on fire?
Oh, no. Yeah. I caught my bedroom on fire when I was younger.
Lighting gas.
No.
I don't like the F-A-R-T word.
No.
Lighting poots.
No, we didn't.
You know what you have to accompany that with? You have to go, and then explode.
Yeah. Yeah. We built a tent in my room. We had bunk beds in my bedroom. And my friends and I built a big tent. You know how you used to do that?
Sure.
Tents with with blankets and all that.
Oh, sure. Chairs.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so we had the entire room covered. And the bunk beds was covered. All this stuff was covered. So we decided that we needed some light in in there. So we took a lamp and took the shade off of it and put the lamp.
Oh, I think you told me that.
Put the lamp in there. And we decided to go out, and we're in the kitchen eating, and we come back in, and there's smoke all over the room because the blanket started smoldering.
It draped over the bulb.
Yes.
Oh, no.
So it starts smoldering. So we opened the window to let the smoke out, and it goes and started on fire. So we went running back and forth from the kitchen, filling up pots and pans and all kinds of stuff. We threw water all over it, and we had probably 2 or 3 inches of water in my room.
Brother.
And so we're trying to clean this up. And then
you should have gone right to reform school.
Well, in the meantime, my mom comes home and says, what is going, you know, it's one of those deals. Hey guys, I'm home. What?
Well, I am.
I never hear the words reform school.
No.
When I was a kid, that's what they said. You watch it or you're going to go to reform school. That was like a kid's prison.
Yeah. I used to get boarding school.
That's the other one. Mm-hmm. Or military academy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Military. I'll send you to military academy.
Yeah.
But reform school was big door, bars. I mean, that was in your mind. And I don't know what reform school really was. It was prison. For kids. All right, I'm going to tell you, I've told a story before. I'll tell you a creepy story about fire. I was in, only had once in my life where we lived burned down. And I was little, like 5 or something. And have you got that creepy
music?
Like mind reading music. There's some creepy music in there somewhere.
All right.
I've told you before about my mother. My mother had, I mean, some serious ESP. There's no such thing as a psychic, but man, did she have ESP. Of course, she would dream something, and then something horrible would happen that was very similar to her dream. When I was like 5 or 6 or whatever, we lived in a house and my parents rented a room from Mrs. Harris. She's an old lady. And they didn't have any money, so they just rented a room. And for a while, that's where I had to live. And my dad said that my mother... Did you ever find the music?
Yeah, is this it?
No, that's the stabbing that's, music from Psycho.
No, it kind of goes...
Music.
Ooh,
it's just like...
Okay, I need a title. Okay.
Psychic reading? Look that up. Psychic reading music. See what you get.
Hey, it smells psychic.
Story does... P.S.
P-S-Y-C-H-I-C.
Okay, yeah. No, it's not that either.
All right.
P-S-Y-C-H-I-K.
Yeah, that's what I did.
No, not K.
C-H-I-C.
It's not C-H. My mother.
How about this?
That'll work. Oh, that's good. That's Chucky type music. But my mother's a true story. Three nights in a row. Dreams that our house burned down that we lived in. And she tells my dad, she says, well, I've had this dream now three nights in a row. It's the same dream. We're having breakfast. And the next thing you know, the kitchen's on fire and the whole house burns down. On the fourth day after dreaming that three nights in a row, while we were having breakfast, the house burned down.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah. And I barely remember standing in the backyard. My dad was holding me up on a fence. You know how your dad will hold you on his shoulder so you can see? I'm up on the fence, so my head is actually way above his, and I'm just watching this unbelievable flames and firemen. The house burned down.
Did you lose everything, do you remember?
I don't know. I was too little to know about that stuff. We didn't have anything to lose. We didn't even have a house, really. We just rented a room, Mrs. Harris. I don't know if Mrs. Harris burned up in it or not. I don't know.
Ooh.
But... that's one of the many creepy ESP stories, and I don't know how many of those I've shared with Limestone, but I'm going to tell you something. I could do an hour on my mother, who was a tormented soul, and this thing that she lived with, the torment of knowing something horrible had happened or was going to happen, and never be specific enough that she could stop it. It's creepy. That's some good music. Yeah.
That is some good
music.
That's
some real good creepy music.
Will you save it and I'll add it to the thing? Thanks.
That's one of those sounds where a kid's playing with a doll. I mean, you hear that music, you know, but you can almost see the scene where a little girl's playing with a doll.
Like, you know, you walk into an abandoned house, up in the attic, there's just a kid with a jack in the box.
Yes.
That, yeah.
And then a creepy man comes over and goes, so what's your name, darling?
Becky.
And you just know, oh, no, something horrible is going to happen just from that music. You know, something horrible is going to happen. We're going to take a break. And if you'd like to call us, because it'll be a short break, that's fine with us. We'd love for you to call. We don't care what it's about. 314-821-0590. You know, most shows, they go, well, over this next hour, we'll be talking with St. Louis University Professor Arnold Gingheim about the memory.
Oh, we are?
About crime. Oh, no, I made that up.
Is he coming?
About crime in St. Louis, and if you'd like to join it. And they tell you what the topic is. We don't do that.
His book is called Gingheim on Crime.
Yes, it is. I read that book. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Mr. Londoff was on with us yesterday. Nice to hear from him again. We hadn't heard from him for, I don't know, like 2 weeks. I'm pretty busy. See, what I like to do is I read...
It's time for some straight talk. You want high-speed data that never runs
out? Come on, are you kidding?
What was that?
Tim's having a tiny little malfunction right now. It's okay. It's all right. It's just...
I had it
No, Limey. It's not time. We are broadcasters.
I had it on mute, and I showed it was on mute, and it still was playing the video.
And then it started?
Accidents happen.
My mother, from heaven, she still has the power. She started your phone.
That's creepy.
It's creepy. Really, after creepy. We're talking about all this creepy stuff, Tim's phone on its own starts playing
and
something. And it's on mute.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? Dun, 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 dun. Wow. Stop it, mother.
Seriously, that was weird.
Man.
I'm not editing that out. I want people to know that ghosts live.
Mother.
They thrive in this building. Yeah, it's like something the psycho. Mother!
Well, she just sent me a text. She said, that was for Frank. Sorry.
Oh, it's my mom? Okay. So Johnny Londoff made it was a rare appearance. He'll be back on a regular basis, I'm sure. But he wanted everybody to know that everything is good, business is good, and to thank all of you who are AM and the PM. And what I like to do is when I see, and I read this 2 days ago, that you know, the car sales are down. They're down for the month of July. August not looking great. I like to just laugh at that. Not you know, I feel bad for other dealers, but when I say laugh at it, I mean go, wow, not with us, not with Johnny Londoff, because we have the AM and the PM crowd to keep that business thriving, and you have for 14 years or so, 14, 15 years, and I like to think you would keep doing that for as long as we're able to do what we're doing. It really is an easy message, and the message is simple. For anybody listening who's going to be shopping for a car, and when I say car, I know a lot of you are truck drivers, you know what I mean, a vehicle. We would hope that if you want to keep this show on the air, you would go by Johnny. You can start online if you want to, Londoff.com. But then at some point you want to go by. Buying a car is something you should do hands-on in the car, smell that new car smell, take a test drive. You can't do all that online. Sure, you can start there. And we'd like to think you would include them and that you make a point to make sure they know why you're there, because you're AM and the PM. That's it. Simple message. And the result is, if you follow that advice, do what we ask you to do, more than likely, that's where you'll buy your next vehicle. And the one after that, and the one after that. That's where your spouse will buy, and your kids, and your parents, and your neighbors, because you're going to go on and on about how well you were treated, because that's how you're going to be treated. Very well. It'll be that first car buying experience you didn't hate. Sadly, that's the case with a lot of people. They've not gone to the right dealer. Here's where they're located. They're at the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County. That's where they've been since 1960. And coming up in a year and a half, 2020 will be their 60th anniversary at that location. Imagine that's going to be a pretty big deal. Right now, your big deal is waiting for you. All you have to do is go grab it. Take advantage of the opportunity to have a car buying experience that you didn't think you could have. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, and of course, 24/7 at Londoff.com.
And Tory Lyons has a check on traffic for you.
Traffic's brought to you by Ameren Missouri Heating and Cooling Program. Accident southbound 270 at 70. It's in the left lane. And then an accident in the right lane, southbound 270 at the Sappington Road overpass, westbound 64 backing up at Hampton. Ameren Missouri offers a variety of programs to help you save energy and money, including rebates of up to $900 when you install a qualifying HVAC system. Some restrictions may apply. Learn more at AmerenMissouri.com/HVAC. I'm Tory Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. In just a few weeks, we will begin our climb up the Grand Teton in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. To learn more about our fourth annual Climb for the Kids and to make a donation, please visit thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. My firm, Gateway Investigations, has been helping citizens, law firms, and insurance companies throughout the state for the last 10 years. We investigate everything from cheating spouses to lying employees who are faking injuries. We can help you investigate somebody who's suing you or maybe somebody you want to sue. We can help you find missing relatives or long-lost friends. When you need to know the truth, call Gateway Investigations, 238-1367. That's 238-1367. Visit us online at gatewaypi.net or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
Please give me cock.
Oh boy, see?
Yeah, I know.
This could have been so good.
This is when there was supposed to be music now, and it's playing.
It's ruined.
I don't know why there's no music.
You're going to go right from that. And for those who just tuned in and heard that, before you get all bent out of shape, that was Christine. She's on YouTube. Telling the Korean community how to pronounce Coke. Please give me some Coke. But she's misinforming them. And she's mispronouncing it, and this could cause trouble.
Well, this isn't good.
And then we're supposed to hear Sam and Dave. Dun, 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 dun. But somebody, the same guy that made 8 mistakes yesterday, doesn't have.
I'm not making a mistake. Like, I'm playing
just
it right
another
now.
Song. Anything. It's okay.
It's not playing. This is bad. All right, I'm just going to. Whoa. Okay, now we got audio. I don't know why I didn't have any audio there for a second. That is infuriating and not my fault.
It's not?
No, that is not my fault.
Whose fault would it be?
I don't know, bloody computers.
You said the F word.
The B word.
This is not even the same song.
It isn't the same song. You picked something else, so it is.
Sorry, everybody.
This is a great song for Brenda, who's on the line.
Brenda. She's holding, but she's holding no more. Brenda, thank you for holding, and thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. What can we do for you?
Frank, I am AM and PM.
Thank you. Can't hear that too much. What's going on?
So, I have listened to you for years, and I have followed you from, I forgot the station on the FM, down to AM. And now over here, so I am just tickled that I found you again.
Well, I'm tickled too. Thank you. We're all tickled. Thank you for staying with us. What can I do for you?
So I wanted to make a request. I'm sure you probably have a plethora of jokes, so you probably don't even remember this, either of these two, but if you ever get a chance, there are two jokes that you've told before, and they just, I had to pull over and stop the car because I was going to run into something. I was laughing so hard.
Well, let's hear. Let's hear what they are.
Well, one joke, I don't remember the bulk of it other than the punchline was feedback.
Oh, yes, I know.
And,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know that.
And the other joke was when the moose takes the gun from the shotgun from the guy and he says, "You're not in this for the sport, are you?" or something to that effect.
Right. Yeah, I've known that for a long time. But the feed, it was actually the feed sack is the way I think I told it. But I know
feed
the joke.
Sack.
I know the joke you're talking about. And the sad thing is to tell that joke, it's got the F word in it. And when you tell it, and you say, and then the guy hits his thumb and says, "F." That's the way you have to tell it, and it sort of takes something out of it. But that's the reason I haven't told it for a while. But I know the joke, and if I can find a way to make it work, I'll tell it for you again.
That's to me, that says something that you were so funny that a person, I would remember a joke from, that had to have been at least 15 years ago.
Oh, I guarantee it was. I don't think I've told it for more than 10. You're right. You have a good memory. And there's certain jokes I stop because I think, well, they're just not as effective, you know, without the way I heard them, without that word. Go ahead. What else
also,
you got?
Also, I was just going to say, too, I did buy, and I believe it was either a cassette or it was a CD of your jokes.
It was a CD.
So
it was a CD done about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I think there are 25 or 26 jokes on it, something like that. And they're still the same jokes. Yes. I still tell those jokes.
And there was one about the parrot.
Okay, there's about 10 jokes about parrots.
Didn't you just tell a parrot joke?
I don't know. They all start to run together. But I was thinking this morning, it's interesting, but there are 10 months. I don't believe we have yet repeated a joke here, because I'm going for a year. I'm hoping that I know enough jokes to take us a year without retelling one. I might have slipped and retold one or two, but that's going to be all there is. I think I got one today. I'm pretty sure I haven't told
you. Hey, Brenda, do you mind if I just interrupt your conversation with Frank real quick for a second?
Sure.
I just need to try something. Thank you.
Cock.
It's too late now.
I still got it, though. Thank you.
But you didn't play the whole...
I still got it.
You didn't
it.
Play
Thank
her
you.
Whole sentence. You just played one word.
Yeah,
out of context.
I messed up.
Out of context. Sorry, Brenda.
Brenda has to pull over again.
No, it was a CD, and there were like 25 or 26 jokes, and there's still a few of those around somewhere.
You are just... And your guys are funny, too, because it's your sidekick when I think it's Dan with his laugh. That makes me laugh, too.
Yeah, Dan's different. Have you ever met him? Have you ever met Dan?
No.
Oh, you'd see him. You'd really laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mean that to me.
You know, I see you guys sometimes there in the window because I work out next door at Gold's, and so I'll come out and I see you in the window doing your show, so it's pretty cool.
How old are you?
Old enough.
How old are you? No, how old are you? Come
Over
on.
Over 40.
40 what?
Over 40.
40 what? Come on, Brenda. How old? 40 what?
49.
It's my favorite age. 49.
Oh.
I'm hoping she'd say
how old I am.
Well, not because
yes,
you. That's my favorite age for women. Not everybody.
Whatever.
For women. 40. Did you know, and I'm reading now from a magazine called 49 and I Feel Fine. Do you get that magazine? Here's a great article in it. It says that a woman, I'll read it right out of the magazine. A woman reaches her sexual peak at the age of 49.
Yeah.
Everything falls into place. Everything she's learned, all her knowledge, all her skills, all of her sex education is at her disposal. And women at 49 are likely to just bestow all of this knowledge on the first man they see if the mood so hits them.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So there you go. I don't even know if you knew it or not, but you're at your sexual peak right now.
You know.
Are you working today?
Are you next door right now? Yeah. I'll come over for a workout.
Yeah.
You guys are a hoot. You're just a hoot and a holler.
Well, Brenda, thank you for calling, and call anytime. And you're welcome to come by here, but don't come over and try to solicit me to come over and work out. I'm not ready for that yet.
No, okay, you'll work up to it.
Yeah, I need to do it. I really do. Brenda, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's interesting, that joke she's talking about the feed sack. It just really, to be told right, is to be told the way I heard it. And sometimes there's a word in there that just makes the joke. Now, sometimes you can replace it with one word that's very close, and it still holds up. But a lot of times it doesn't. Checking the time, see how we're doing. There's a, I almost said police in France where the women wear no pants, but I've done that so many times I don't want to do it again. You want a bonus joke?
I'd love one.
So, the husband and wife are watching a TV show, and it's about psychology. It's on the Discovery Channel or something. And the psychologist is explaining the phenomenon of mixed emotions. You know how somebody could say, well, it was bittersweet, meaning it was great, but it was terrible. It was good, but it had to be bad to be good. And that's like mixed emotions. And the husband turns to his wife and he says, you know what? He says, this is a bunch of crap. He said, there's no such thing as mixed emotions. And he says to his wife, he says, I bet you cannot say anything to me that would make me happy and sad at the same time. That's what mixed emotions are. There's nothing you can say to me that would make me happy and sad at the same time. And she says, really? How about this? Of all your friends, you have the biggest penis.
So that's good news and bad news. That would make you happy and sad at the same time.
But mostly glad.
I think
that glad overrides the sad.
Probably mostly. I heard an interview a couple days ago with Kevin Hart, and he's talking about being born with a big one. He said the greatest thing his daddy ever gave him was a big schlong. He goes on up the advantages of having. I had to turn it off. I was getting so depressed hearing about all the benefits of that. All right, we're working our way toward 4 o'clock in the news. Dan Buffa comes in today. He usually does not take phone calls. That's not what this segment is, but it's about TV and movies, and I think most people generally like. We like maybe different kinds of movies and TV shows, but most of America watches a lot of TV and goes to the movies at least occasionally. So he's going to come in here.